Welcome to the Reclaimed Recovery Podcast, where Christian men are overcoming porn. If you're struggling with porn, our podcast is going to help you break the shame and rewire your brain so you can get back to living a porn-free life. I'm your host, Colton Thomas, and you're listening to episode 4 about the importance of science related to porn recovery. Now, to begin with, you might be wondering, if this is a podcast aimed at men of faith, why are we talking about the science before other topics related to spirituality, purpose, desire, or shame? And if you don't know this already, what I would like for you to realize is that there's a big conversation happening about whether porn is bad for us or not that's being held from the standpoint of biology and neuroscience and addiction. And this conversation is happening apart from religion and morality, or at least largely apart from the topics of religion and morality. There are scientists and experts advocating against pornography and saying that it has harmful effects on the brain. And it's important to understand this conversation that's going on. And as people of faith, we need to be educated in the science because there's a lot to take away from the science when it comes to porn addiction. In fact, the science is crucial. It can be game-changing if you haven't spent much time learning about it. And so our goal here in the next couple episodes of this podcast is to break the science down into a way that's easy to understand and that's practical for you to take and to implement. Now, I do want to say really quickly that nothing I'm going to say in these episodes is actual medical advice. All right, if you hear something from me that is going to change your lifestyle, if you're going to experiment with something, all right, especially if you are struggling with mental health, then please talk to a physician or a mental health professional before implementing anything in this podcast, because I'm going to share a story, a personal story here in a little bit. Don't just assume that what's worked for me and all of this is going to work exactly the same way for you. Okay, so the point is, knowing what's happening to our brains as we watch porn can be a helpful place to start here because it gives us some objectivity to begin with. Right, the science is something that's clear and concrete, and it helps balance us and our perspective about porn by keeping us from over-spiritualizing every aspect of our recovery. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is that you can get to a point where you're fearing your sexual urges and you're believing that every sexual urge and desire is bad. Okay, you can also get to a point where just thinking about porn or thinking about sex is bad or somehow evil, like there's something wrong with you. And then a step further is that we can get to this place where we're starting to doubt our worth and we're starting to doubt in ourselves and we're starting to wonder if we're even worthy of being loved by God and by others. And so we start to question even our salvation, right? If you're a person of faith, it's easy to get to a place in porn where you're questioning your heart and whether you really love God or not and whether you're going to be saved. And right out the gate, I want to say something to address that really quick. God loves you despite where you're at in this struggle, okay? At the heart of the gospel is the idea that God draws near. He finds a way to draw near to people even when they're in sin, right? That was the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross. And so if you have come to a decision in your life where you want to quit pornography, but you're just struggling to quit because you don't have the right information and you haven't been taught how, I want you to know that God is being every bit as patient with you, and he's going to draw near you, as near as you want to draw to him, and he's going to love you unconditionally and support you along the way in your decision, all right? God is not your enemy, he's your father. And so I really want you to hear that message and believe it as you start to tackle porn recovery in your life, okay? It's really important to understand that you don't have to go on believing in the lie that God and family and our friends want nothing to do with us because we struggle with porn. So now that I've said that, I really believe that understanding the science behind pornography can help us fight the shame that often comes with it because it helps us understand that we're not alone. And the fact that we struggle with porn should not be some big surprise. There are reasons why porn has such addictive tendencies and why we struggle to quit using it. And a lot of those reasons should help us understand that this isn't all our fault. It's not our fault that we got into pornography or that we got hooked because our brains are wired that way. So before we dive further into dopamine and how it works and the neuroscience and all that good stuff, I'd really like to share with you a personal story to start. And the reason why I'm sharing this story is because something happened to me to open my eyes up to how important the chemical balances are in our brains and how important it is to have optimal levels of certain hormones in our bodies. And this experience taught me that if we're already struggling with our mental health or our physical health or any kind of chronic condition, that porn is not going to go away, but it is in fact going to compound our difficulties and our struggles with depression, with anxiety, and with other things. Now, the way I came to understand how important these hormones and neurotransmitters are in our brains and bodies is that I actually had an experience in a clinical setting with a drug called ketamine. You may have heard of ketamine before. It's a drug that often gets abused, and its street name is Special K. Now, before I go any further with the story, I think it goes without saying that I do not approve of the recreational use of ketamine. All right, this is a drug that should be taken very, very seriously. So now, let me explain why I ended up getting a ketamine treatment. So in my mid-20s, I developed some pretty severe chronic neck pain, and the doctors weren't exactly sure what brought it on, but it got to a point where I wasn't sleeping properly, I couldn't work normal hours, and my mood was completely changed. All right, it was a constant pain and nearly a constant headache. And I had to give up several things I loved in life because of this neck pain and this back pain and this overall stress and tension that my body started developing. All right, it was chronic. So I had to give up rock climbing, long distance running, and CrossFit, a lot of physical activities that I really, really enjoyed, that I used to push myself, and that were, frankly, a part of my identity. And so this was a very difficult season for me, not just because of the pain I was going through, but because of the lifestyle changes that I had to make. And if you're out there listening to this and you've struggled with any kind of chronic pain, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, I also want to share with you that during this time, the temptation to look at porn only increased. And the answer to why is pretty obvious now looking back. But it's that when we struggle with depression or pain, it's easy to look for an escape. It's easy to look for the easiest way out, the quickest hit of dopamine. And porn is always there to try and offer that to us in our weakest of moments. And while I was struggling with this, I realized that that wasn't going to change. Pornography is not going anywhere. And I can set up all the filters and blockers in the world on my phone, but porn isn't going anywhere. And so part of this experience was causing me to dig not only deep for my own healing, for my neck and for my back and my chronic pain, but also for a deeper transformation and healing of my character so I could become someone who no longer struggles with porn and can live porn-free in the face of adversity. All right, so that's one thing that I was going through in the midst of all of this. Okay, now in the next few years, I would go on to try a lot of different things to try and heal my neck, including physical therapy. I tried some basic strengthening of my neck and of certain muscles in my back to try to help. And there was some progress and some relief, but it was very slow. And I started to realize that the root of the problem had to lie somewhere else, that it wasn't completely just a muscular problem, because I had enough strength that I shouldn't be in this chronic condition, in this chronic pain. And so then I burned through several thousand dollars on things like massage therapy and chiropractic care. And these also brought a lot of relief, but the results were still temporary. And so I ended up getting in this pattern where I was spending what I had and a lot of the time that I had on getting these treatments. And then after the treatments, when I felt relief, I was working to try to get enough money to pay for more treatments. And so it actually became really hard to make ends meet. It was a very difficult season in my life. And because of this, I started to feel depressed. I started to get pretty depressed. And like I said, I was just in my mid-20s, you know, and I felt kind of robbed and kind of cheated. I was angry at God, to be honest, because it was a time when I felt like I should be living at my physical peak, right? My prime, so to speak. And yet I was laying around in bed late every morning, trying to get enough sleep so that I could get up and I could face the day. All right, so difficult season. And then when the pain was at its height, one doctor that I spoke with mentioned that it's possible that my brain and body had learned a certain holding pattern. So what he said is that the way that my brain was sending signals to my body and to my muscles about how tight they should be had become dysfunctional. So now we're looking at a potential problem with my nervous system. And one relatively new treatment that's emerged over the last decade or two is from a Schedule III drug called ketamine. And you can get ketamine in a few different ways, but in a clinical setting, what's very common is that they'll inject ketamine into your veins with an IV, and they'll do it at a very slow rate, because if you inject a lot of ketamine, it's actually used as an anesthetic that can put you to sleep. But what they do is they give you a certain dose that doesn't put you to sleep, but that has some really powerful effects on your brain. And what some of the best science is saying about ketamine is that ketamine can help reset some of the processes in your brain. And what's fascinating is that they're using ketamine, by the way, to treat PTSD and people who struggle with depression. So the most simple explanation about what ketamine does and how it works is that it blocks something called NMDA receptors, which is just a way of saying, if you could simplify it, that it blocks some of the hurtful thoughts and feelings, some of the bad stuff, and it leaves room to experience just the good stuff. And when this happens, you experience a lot of the good stuff, right? It was a very, very powerful experience. But the idea behind me getting the treatment was not only that it could provide some short-term relief, but that it could help reset some of the important processes in my brain and rebalance some of those pathways, some of those signals my brain was sending to my body and to my neck and to my back that made it so inflamed, that triggered it to make it so tight, and that made it hurt all the time. And so if I could reset and rebalance, it might help overall with the chronic pain. That was the idea. And so I went in to a hospital to get this treatment. And what you have to understand is that I grew up in a very small conservative church, and I went to a private Christian school for college. And I have never tried anything like this. I've never done any hard drugs or party drugs or anything like that. And thankfully, in this hospital, it was a very safe and a healthy environment for doing this, right? I was doing it with a purpose. I had a good mindset when I went about it. And so my experience ended up being really, really good. It was actually incredibly eye-opening, the experience that I had with ketamine. And it was beneficial too, but not exactly in the ways that I had originally hoped for. And so what it didn't do, unfortunately, was really help me significantly in the long-term game when it came to my pain and inflammation. I actually found another solution for that that I'll talk about in a little bit. But what it did do for me was that it opened my eyes to how powerful an effect that the molecules in our brain, or the lack thereof, can have on our mental state. Because let me tell you something, when they started that IV, all pain, all fear, all anxiety actually just vanished. And it's so hard to explain this feeling, but it really and truly was like I was in a different world. And you can believe me or not, but I had a very spiritual experience in this. There was a spiritual component to it that I will always remember. I'll never forget. I truly felt God and His presence in a different way, in a very certain way that I hadn't felt before when I was in this state. So much so that, in fact, when the doctor came in after the IV started, I immediately started telling him about God and how great He was and how much He loved me. And, you know, and he sat down and I said, "Doc, have you heard about Jesus?" And to this day, I would love to talk to him again and ask him about that experience, what he must have been thinking. Because, you know, I'm not really sure if he was a believer or not, but he must have really had an interesting experience in there with me as I was telling him about the good Lord. But something specific that I experienced in this state is personal, but I want to share it with you anyways. And that's that I can be super hard on myself. And I can live every single day, every single hour, disappointed in myself because I'm not living up to my own expectations. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but I struggle a lot with not feeling good enough. And a lot of it is my own doing, not necessarily anyone else's, but my own expectations for myself, my own goals, the bar that I've set for myself that I can't quite hit. And this, by the way, is another weakness of mine that makes porn so alluring, because porn offers an escape from this so that momentarily it feels like I have my desires met. And momentarily, my fears about not living up to my own expectations can take a break and I don't have to think about them, right? And so naturally, porn becomes an unhealthy solution to this problem for me. And so by working on this part of myself that's so self-criticizing, I also know that I'm working on my sexual maturity and my ability to handle triggers when it comes to pornography. And so when I was under ketamine, I felt this acceptance for myself that I believe came from God and His unconditional love that I had never felt before. And that feeling, that epiphany, has stuck with me to this day. Now, I'm still working on this, and I'm definitely not perfect. But when I'm struggling with this aspect of my life, sometimes I still look back to that feeling I had when I was in that ketamine treatment and to that point of time to remember the acceptance and unconditional love that God has for me. Okay, that's life-changing stuff. You don't need to go through ketamine to come to this realization and feel this full impact of grace and what it means to be unconditionally loved. But it just so happens that I was able to experience that in this ketamine treatment. And I consider it a blessing. I just consider it a gift from God. Now, like I said, the ketamine did not resolve the root issue like I had hoped. However, it did open my mind back up to what it feels like to not have chronic pain and what it feels like to be under God's unconditional love. So that was really great after I had been depressed for so long. I mean, that was a huge, huge takeaway from getting this treatment. And then fast forward another year or two after I continued to struggle with this, although it was a little better, I eventually met a very special lady, a Southern gal, who would become my wife, and her mother actually helped me look for new doctors and solutions after I'd kind of given up, to be honest, until they found a chiropractor who specialized in the Atlas, and he specializes in something called Atlas orthogonal. Now, the Atlas is where your skull connects to the very top vertebrae in your neck. And so I walk in, and he has this special x-ray machine designed to detect head tilt and when your Atlas is off, and he determined that my skull was not sitting properly on my neck. So now I like to tell people that I didn't have my head on straight, and then when I met Sarah, I got my head on straight, okay? And now life is so much better. So here's the cool thing. He had a special instrument, one of the only chiropractors in Arkansas who had this, and then over the course of a couple years after he did several fine-tuned corrections on my Atlas, I finally started to not only get my head on straight, but keep my head on straight. And many of those symptoms of pain that I had started to go away. I started sleeping better. My mood was better. I felt much less depressed. Now, another thing that I did while this was going on is that my wife encouraged me to see a doctor and get on some antidepressant medication just to help with the process, to help lift my mood, to help me get back into normal functioning daily life. And I've got to tell you, I'm a big advocate for at least mild antidepressants, because that's what I've had experience with and that's what I can speak to, okay? But sometimes as Christians, we can have this opinion that getting any kind of help from a drug that alters our brain is somehow wrong or sinful, or that we don't have enough faith, so we're turning to this drug. And I also think that that couldn't be further from the truth. I think that raising a hand when you need a little bit of help to rebalance some of the chemicals in your brain, to help you with a little more serotonin and to help block a little bit some of the bad feelings, I think that God can and will use that in order to help you get to a better place in your life, all right? That's my firm belief. That's been my experience with it, and I've tapered off of it some, although I'm actually still using a little bit since that time. And so there's no shame in it. That's just the message that I want to give you guys. And if there's one thing that I want you to walk away with when it comes to my story, it's just that I want you to keep persevering if you find yourself in the middle of the struggle and you're also dealing with depression or chronic pain, or you've been trying for a long time, you can't quit. Because our bodies have this amazing ability to adapt and rebalance. And sometimes, yes, we need a little bit of help to get there. But the same force that made us is capable of healing us. And I personally believe that that's our Creator God. And so I believe that God is a God that heals. And I think that our bodies can do that in amazing ways. And I believe that for you. So I want you to walk away after hearing the story with more hope and trust in the science and the power behind it that can help you to heal your brain and to save your relationships. Because it was during this time of physical healing that I also learned how to overcome porn. And I just want you to know that if you are living in a constant state of depression and low energy and a lack of hope and motivation, there's probably a reason for it. And there's a scientific reason for it. And it's probably not just your lot in life or all the things that you've done wrong or your genetics. There are things that can help you in the short term to get you back on the right track for the long term. That's why we're going to talk about some of these molecules that are important to know and consider when it comes to a pornography habit. So in our next episode, we're going to get into the science of dopamine, and it's a fascinating subject. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. And until then, I hope you'll be encouraged by the science, by the fact that our brains and bodies have an amazing ability to adapt and to rebalance themselves when we remove things that are harmful to us, that are harming our chemical balances and our biological processes, such as pornography. So just remember that. Keep hope. We are believing in you. And I want to say thank you for listening to the Reclaimed Recovery Podcast. We'll see you in the next episode. Hey guys, if you're enjoying listening to our podcast, there's a couple quick things I would love for you to do that could really help us out. One is to leave a quick review for our podcast. This would help us reach more men and potentially help more lives. Two is to head over to reclaimedrecovery.com and check out our free training on the 5 shifts that we use to help men overcome pornography and overcome it for good. This training is going to go into even more depth on a lot of things that we talk about in our podcast. In the training, you can also find out more about our 10-week journey through our coaching app an online course that can help bring you that transformation you need to start living a life porn free. So if you love this podcast, you're going to love the training and other materials that you can find in our community app and on our website. Again, that's reclaimedrecovery.com, and you can find the links to all of these resources and more right on our homepage.